You may be seated this morning. I had asked Miss Wanda to have the kids to sing Zacchaeus this morning because they do such a good job with it, and it was the gospel lesson for today. And then I got to looking at the gospel lesson. We have two gospel lessons because one, if you're celebrating All Saints Day, was another one. And if you're just doing regular, it was Zacchaeus. And I looked at all the other stuff, and nothing was working out too well. I said, it's just not what I need to be talking about this morning, Lord. And He'd already told me that, and I kind of figured it out because I just love it when He makes me write two or three sermons in 1 week. It just depresses me. But anyway, I said, well, and I didn't let her know what I was doing, so we changed it up a little bit. Our scripture this morning does come from the Psalms. And they are Psalm 40, verses 2 through 4, and Psalm 51. In Psalm 40, verses 2 through 4, it says, "And He drew me up from the desolate pit out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. And He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and put their trust in the Lord. And happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods." And then Psalm 51. It's, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you alone and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, Lord, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities." And probably my favorite verse of all is, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of you and of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." This is the word of God this day for us, His children. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O great and mighty God, I do thank you this day for who you are in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for loving us. I thank you for blessing us. And I ask, Lord, at this moment that you just allow your words in my mouth this day to be pleasing for those here this morning. Hold us all close, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. And before you get all too comfortable at everything, I want you to find your hymnal and I want you to open it to page 378. And just have it with you, because we're going to use it throughout this sermon. This is going to be a singing, learning sermon today. Singing the songs of Zion when we've been there 10,000 years. Hymn number 378. Just hold it and just listen. Early in 2008, leaders with the United Methodist Communications put out a question to 1,500 Facebook friends, and they asked them which was their favorite hymn in the United Methodist hymnal. The results noted a growing shift. Though some of the very wonderful classics continue to make the top 10, a relative newcomer by Dan Shute took first place. And it's probably one of my favorite songs, and it's called "Here I Am, Lord." "Here I Am, Lord," beat "Amazing Grace" and "How Great Thou Art." Can you believe it? Immediately followed, though, by a very, very close second and third. In fact, they were so close in second and third, that they put him as a tie. Was Billy Graham's all-time favorite by How Great Thou Art, George Beverly Shea? How many times have you heard that song in your life? What wonders. And of course, John Newton's Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace and How Great Thou Art tied for number two. Think about this. What would be on your top 10 list of all-time hymn favorites? You see, no one is surprised that Amazing Grace made the top three. In most polls among almost any nationality, Amazing Grace comes close to the top. Three simple words by this 18th century Anglican priest tell our story, both our biblical story and our personal faith journey. Who cannot recall the time when the words, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see, did not resonate, did not come close to something in your life? You see, Father Newton's hymn tells the biblical story of a people in need of redeeming and of a God who accepts people just as they are, but whose love demands nothing short of transformation. You see, transformation means that you need to be changed, being made anew, redeemed, forgiven, being transformed into a believing child of God. You see, what gives Amazing Grace the qualities of a classic is that these six simple verses witness to the whole gospel, the gospel in which we acknowledge our sin, admit our helplessness, and seek forgiveness. You see, this gospel reminds us that God's grace can reclaim the most ugly among us. It can reclaim the alcoholic, the addict, the thief, that vengeful neighbor, the hypocritical church member, the one who has hardened their heart. You see, God's grace can reclaim the most ugly among us. Who can sing these verses and not at times be moved to tears? Why does this old song still reach us? Because we believe the writer has lived the truth of these verses. This is a witness of one who lived to understand the power of God's grace. Take your hymnal, remain seated, and let's sing the first verse together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You see, as a teenager, young John Newton rebelled against his father. Oh, he was like the prodigal son. Instead of following his father's plans that he would work on the sugar plantation, Newton pursued a career at sea and in time joined the crew of a slave ship. After sailing from England to Africa, the ship placed as many as 800 African slaves into the hold as it headed out to the West Indies. You see, the conditions were totally inhumane. Africans were mistreated, tortured, and suffered from varying diseases. They were malnourished and dehydrated, and on many trips, as many as half died at sea. After delivering the slaves for profit, the captain took on goods bound for England. Though away from his father, John Newton still suffered from a deeply rebellious spirit. He was a constant problem for the slave dealers and those on the ship, and one of those dealers finally left him in West Africa with a slave dealer himself. And John Newton became a slave to an African princess. A sea captain was asked by John's father to go and find his son. John Newton was rescued and brought home. And during that long voyage home, a severe storm threatened the ship one night. And as the ship filled with water, John fell to his knees, having been delivered from slavery and now staring into the face of death itself. He finally called out to his God. The prodigal came home, though not quiet. Let's sing verses 2 and 3. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. You see, believing that God had saved him, he began a devoted and spiritual life. In 1754, a stroke left him unable to continue in sailing, but he continued investing in slaving. He began a serious study for the ministry. And in 1764, he began work as a parish priest, but he didn't speak against slavery. Do you hear the confessions in these words? You see, this testimony truly transcends cultures and generations, languages and nations. No wonder Amazing Grace has been translated into more languages than in nearly any other song there is. You see, 20 years has passed as a parish priest in John Newton's life whenever he meets William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce will be someone that changes his life. Wrestling with a call into Christian ministry himself and inclined to enter the priesthood, Wilberforce looked for counsel in John Newton. And John advised him not to give up his wealth or his political endeavors, but to wait upon God for direction. Wilberforce took his advice and for some 30 years became the leading voice against slavery in all of England. And finally, in 1788, 34 years after retiring from the slave trade, John Newton wrote a serious pamphlet, Thoughts Upon the Slave Trade, and it described the horrible conditions and apologizing for a confession which comes too late. You see, the Slave Trade Act finally passed Parliament due to the timeless efforts of William Wilberforce on March the 21st of 1807, 9 months before John Newton died. Enters the Reverend John Wesley, a friend of both Wilberforce and Newton in this fight. He wrote his last letter of his life to William Wilberforce, urging him to continue the fight because he said, "We as Christians need to stand up for the wrongs that we see in our world against the least, the last, and the lost." Verses 4 and 5. You see, John Wesley taught conversion as only one step in the order of salvation. Grace seeks us when we are rebellious and keeps after us until we are found. You see, this grace works in us while we are being converted. And as we become more and more like Christ, with holy lives as the aim, this grace is finished when this mortal life shall cease. But the best is yet to come. As he drew his last breath, John Wesley uttered the hope of eternity. Best of all is, God is still with us. Verse 6. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning before we take communion is called Jesus Messiah. And I have asked Dee to come and play. And the words are up above this. Several people know this song. And I want us all to learn this song. I want us to sing this song as if it's one, because it prepares our hearts and our minds for communion. It prepares